prevention.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Get a better, brighter view of the road with Sylvania bulbs at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Replace your worn-out bulbs today and see better tonight. Now get a $15 O'Reilly gift card after rebate with the purchase of select Sylvania twin-pack bulbs. Receive 2x O'Rewards points on select Sylvania bulbs during O'Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Okay, everyone gather around. I have some exciting...
Running her shoe factory, Kendra talks the talk and walks the walk.
We're switching to green energy.
She needs a biotech consultant to erase her carbon footprint.
All operations will net zero emissions.
Indeed can help her hire great people fast.
I need Indeed.
Indeed you do.
You can schedule and conduct virtual interviews all from your employer dashboard. Visit Indeed.com/credit and get $75 towards your first sponsored job. Terms and conditions apply.
You're listening to WRDN, 1430 AM, Durand Mondovi, Wabasha, and 107.3 FM, Translator W297CH, Durand.
ABC News, I'm Michelle Franzen. The Senate passed foreign aid package for Israel, Ukraine, and Taiwan on hold until the House returns from break. ABC's Stephen Portnoy says another government shutdown deadline is also looming.
Lawmakers remain on recess until the middle of next week. When the House and Senate do come back, they'll have just days to reach agreement to avoid a partial government shutdown that would start a week from this Friday. House Republicans don't seem to have a clear vision for agency funding or for Ukraine aid, with GOP moderates and members of the far right pulling Speaker Mike Johnson in two opposite directions.
In Gaza, a growing food crisis for the more than nearly 2 million Palestinians caught in the crossfire of the Israel-Hamas war. The U.S. and Arab nations still working to broker a ceasefire and hostage release deal that would also boost aid shipments into Gaza. James Biden, the brother of President Biden, on Capitol Hill today, facing questions by House Republicans in the impeachment inquiry into the Biden family business dealings. This is ABC News. In India, a protester is dead amid clashes that erupted between farmers and police. Farmers marching to New Delhi after talks with the government failed to end a standoff over their demands for guaranteed crop prices. Women talking more about something that hasn't been talked about for years.
ABC Chief Medical Correspondent Dr. Jennifer Ashton lists just some of the as many as 50 symptoms of menopause.
Brain fog, migraines, anxiety and depression, mood changes, skin changes, palpitations, weight gain, irregular periods.
The midlife hormonal shift is the second biggest internal upheaval in women's lives after only puberty. Some can experience it as young as 40. The average age is 50, and you can only tell if you've reached menopause if you haven't had your period for at least a year. Sherry Preston, ABC News.
A Tucson teen, Audrey Jimenez, making history. She's the first girl to earn an Arizona State wrestling title while competing against boys. She defeated four boys to win that title. Michelle Franzen, ABC News.
Offer not valid in all states or where prohibited by law. Loans are subject to lender approval. See website for details.
Honey, the credit card bill came and we're maxed out.
Maxed out cards, rent is due. We just need some extra cash to help us get by.
Maybe we should go to 27cash.com.
With our bad credit?
27cash.com is one of the largest personal loan networks. They can help people with any type of credit get up to $5,000, and cash can hit our bank account as soon as tomorrow.
When you need extra cash, go to 27cash.com. That's 27cash.com. 27cash.com.
Wisconsin Radio Network News, I'm Ted Ayling. $2 billion Republican tax cut package, which draws down the state surplus, is now ready for Governor Tony Evers to act on.
Debate in the state Senate on Tuesday included a baseball analogy from DePere Republican Andre Jacques.
This is the last chance in the session. Let's get it done and hit a home run for taxpayers.
At a complaint from Beloit Democrat Mark Spreitzer that Republicans rejected a tax cut in Evers' budget.
Because I think you're more interested in putting forward things you think Democrats will vote against to score political points.
Four bills include expansion of the second lowest tax bracket, exemptions of up to $75,000 of retirees' income, and expanded tax credits for married filers and for those with children. At the Capitol, Bob Haig, Wisconsin Radio Network.
State Senate Republicans continue to fire Governor Evers' appointees. Tuesday, they rejected former Nurses Union President Candace Owley, former State Representative Sandy Pope, and former Lieutenant Governor Barbara Lawton to the board of the UW Hospitals and Clinics Authority, as well as Todd Ames to the Natural Resources Board. In a statement announcing new nominees to all four positions, Evers said Senate Republicans have now baselessly fired 13 of his appointees. Dodge County Sheriff Dale Schmidt says the Monday morning shooting deaths of a man and his wife were apparently a murder-suicide.
Our investigation to this point has led us to believe that David Zittel, age 85, shot his wife, Susan Zittel, both of the town of Elba. He then went to Prairie Ridge Health, entered the lobby, and unfortunately shot himself. No other individuals are believed to be involved in this incident at this time.
Zittel was the chairman of Lyco Manufacturing, a Columbus-based maker of food processing equipment, which he founded in 1980. You're listening to Wisconsin Radio Network News.
Compeer Financial helped us get into our forever home.
They helped me expand more than acreage.
And helped our dairy grow for the next generation.
At Compeer Financial, we see potential in every plan. Our unique perspective finds solutions to your challenges. And our specially trained financial team guides you every step of the way. Partner with us to make your goals possible. Compeer.com. Compeer Financial ACA is an equal opportunity lender and equal opportunity provider. And MLS number 619731, copyright 2019, all rights reserved.
Here's your Real Country 1430 forecast.
I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. Mostly sunny and mild today. In fact, it's quite warm for winter as highs soar to the low 50s. More sunshine on tap for tomorrow, too, as highs flirt with 50 degrees. And get ready for the cool down on Friday. Highs will hover in the low 30s as blustery winds arrive. Looking for a great place to live, stay, shop, and play? It's easy to get to Worthington, Minnesota. Right now, 47 degrees.
Informing America's farmers and ranchers, this is AOA, produced by the American Ag Radio Network. Now, here's your host, Jesse Allen.
Well, the coffee cup is full, and we have a lot of conversation to get to on today's AOA. Welcome into Agriculture of America. Great to have you along with us. I'm your host, Jesse Allen. Coming up on our program today, we are going to talk markets in just a second with Brian Irie from Crossroads Co-op. Looking forward to having Brian on the program with us. Coming up in segment two, it is Grain Bin Safety Week. We're going to talk about that and some other initiatives in educating our youth in agriculture with Jana Davidson from the Progressive Agriculture Foundation and Progressive Ag Safety Days. That's coming up here in segment two. After the bottom of the hour in segment three, we're going to talk with DTN's farm business editor, Katie Dellinger. She spent time at the USDA Ag Outlook Forum last week. We're going to talk to her and get her perspective on that and some of her other recent stories as well. And then we'll take a look at news headlines coming up at the end of the show, including what is the latest on a farm bill. Are we going to get a new five-year farm bill done sometime here in 2024 or not? We're going to look at that and more coming up at the end of the show today. First up, though, happy to welcome into AOA to talk markets with us, Brian Irie with Crossroads Co-op. Brian, great to have you on the show. Hope you're doing well today.
I am happy to be here, and I'm doing well. Hopefully you are as well, Jesse.
Yeah, I'm doing great, doing great. I'm glad we could get you on the program with us here today, Brian. I know with you at a co-op, you have some unique perspectives on what's happening in these markets. You can give us a little bit of an end-user look at things as well. And, you know, Tuesday's trade action, we were pushing higher. The wheat markets kind of took off and led us to the upside, and then you know, back here on Wednesday, we're pushing back a little bit lower, taking some profit. I mean, looking at these grains in general, Brian, has anything really fundamentally changed in these markets that we need to keep an eye on right now? Let's just start there.
I would say from a fundamental perspective, no, it's pretty much status quo. You touched on a really interesting situation yesterday with the wheat market, and there were some soft red winter wheat sales made to China here a couple of months ago and fairly decent volume. And apparently the exporter is struggling to get those sales covered. There have been good carries in Chicago wheat for some time. So it's been very difficult with the market, with the future selling off the way that they have, to get producers to sell soft red winter wheat. And that has really put the exporter in a pinch here, trying to get those sales covered. And I think the only way it happens is up your basis bid to the commercial, and the futures got wind of that yesterday and made a nice little run. It was a great pricing opportunity for producers, both with new sales and current basis contracts versus the March. And we saw a lot of pricing on hard red winter yesterday, which was a benefactor of the rally on the soft red winter side. So the unfortunate situation is I think those are going to be short-lived rallies, and the producer does need to take advantage of them when the opportunity arises, because I think they're going to be far and few in between as we move forward here.
Well, and you made a great point there. You know, maybe we saw some of those sales on that rally Tuesday against some of those March contracts. It's that, kind of that time window where we got to either make some moves here with March contracts or roll them at this point, don't we, Brian?
Yeah, absolutely. And that's what was that's what really worked to the producer's advantage. I think, you know, both Kansas City and Chicago wheat have a little bit of an inverse to them, which works to the producer's advantage if he does have to roll those contracts. But there's nothing like a flat price rally to just get those priced and behind you and move on, especially after the massive sell-off we've seen here over the last month or so.
Well, and of course, you know, the sell-off, a lot of the managed money, those funds that everyone loves to talk about, they just kind of have a stranglehold on these grain markets across corn, beans, and wheat, Brian. I mean, and you, to your point, a lot of farmers are undersold in many commodities right now. I mean, what's your take on just how this managed money flow is having an impact? And maybe you have some thoughts from the elevator side you could share, perspective there.
Well, there's certainly they certainly have their foot on the throat of the producer at this point, with across the complex, with the near record short in corn. They've been short wheat for some time, and they've recently taken a decent long in soybeans down to a fairly decent short at this point. And they're driving the bus. There is definitely no doubt about that situation. Any rallies that we get here get sold off very, very quickly. And I don't expect that's going to change for the foreseeable future. It's going to take some type of a news event, a geopolitical event, or a weather issue somewhere across the grain production areas of the world that to reverse that trend. And you just don't see it now. The good news is that there's plenty of room to the upside should they decide to reverse those positions, especially in corn, where, you know, they have a near record short.
Yeah, yeah, very, very true. Definitely got to take advantage of some of these rallies if we see them here in grains. Brian, on the cattle side, I know you're out in the Western Plains, out in cattle country. We have a on-feed report coming up on Friday. I feel like this cattle trade looking pretty solid as of late, maybe going to be squared up positions ahead of that report with an expected placements number that could be fairly low. Your thoughts on that, Brian?
It's been a very interesting situation. You know, the thing that I try to watch is where the cash price is on these feeder cattle, and as well as where the live cattle are trading. And you just have to go back to last month's cattle inventory numbers, and it really tells the story where we're headed with the cattle feeding situation. I think you're dead on. I think you're going to see very, very light placements in February here, with that problem just snowballing here on through late spring and early summer. You look at the calf crop, it's down 847,000 head from a year ago. Cattle on feed right now are actually up, but I think that's just a function of a lot of cattle got pushed into yards sooner than normal with the late summer drought that we saw across the West. And that has helped here on the front end. But we are talking to a lot of yards that are out in this area, and we certainly see it in the schedules that we get going into feedlots with corn, that numbers are down, and down as much as 30 to 35% in some cases at some of the major feeders out in our part of the world.
Well, and I wonder too, should we be thinking about some of those feed needs with where corn is at in relation to where cattle prices are moving to the upside, Brian, real quick? Should we be thinking about that?
Yeah, I think so. I think it's a big deal. We, it's kind of, it hasn't kind of been. It has been a huge issue, as you have seen the board sell off here. the producers obviously closed the bins up, and he is just letting enough corn leak out to fit his cash flow needs. But I think what ends up happening is that we are forcing a lot more bushels of corn into the marketplace into the mid to late summer months. And it's going to be coincide with the time frame where cattle numbers are just going to be very, very difficult to come up with.
All right. Good thoughts. Brian Irie with Crossroads Co-op. Brian, good to have you on AOA with us. We'll get you back on the show again soon. Thanks for joining me.
Thanks for having me, Jesse. I appreciate it.
Brian Irie there with Crossroads Co-op. All right. Up next, we'll talk with Jana Davidson from the Progressive Agriculture Foundation here on AOA.
Paid non-attorney spokesperson. Are you over the age of 60 and been diagnosed with lung cancer? If so, you and your family may qualify for a cash award. Our experienced attorneys are standing by to evaluate whether you have a lung cancer claim that qualifies you for a cash award. The consultation is absolutely free, and there is no risk and no money out of pocket. We only receive a fee when we secure you and your family a settlement. 250,000 people are diagnosed with lung cancer every year. You're not alone in this battle. We can help make sure that you and your family are financially safe and that medical expenses are covered. Again, if you've been diagnosed with lung cancer and are over age 60, call now. Don't delay. There are deadlines for filing claims. We're standing by 24/7. Call us at 1-844-903-1744. 1-844-903-1744. That's 1-844-903-1744.
Attorney Advertising. William Stephacker Jr. is the attorney responsible for this ad. Main office, Granton, Pennsylvania. May not be available in all states.
When news happens in agriculture, or when the markets are moving, we've got you covered as your trusted voice in agriculture. The team at the American Ag Network has the knowledge and experience to keep you informed on the issues impacting farmers and ranchers. We've got you covered on air, online, and on demand. Find the American Ag Network on your favorite social media platforms, and also follow the American Ag Today podcast wherever you get your podcasts. We are the American Ag Network.
Make sure to subscribe to the Market Talk YouTube channel. You can watch our latest interviews with top market analysts in the country, find bonus content, and much more. It's easy. Just go to youtube.com/@MarketTalkAg and hit the subscribe button. Or you can search for Market Talk Ag on YouTube.
Get the latest bonus interviews, exclusive content, and more with the American Ag Today podcast. Just search for American Ag Today and give us a follow wherever you get your podcasts.
The goals of the FFA include many of the ideas and ideals that inspire great leadership, scholarship, cooperation, service to others, thrift, patriotism, character.
Today and every day in 2024, we salute the FFA and our local FFA members.
Saluting our local FFA chapters and members during this National FFA Week, this FFA salute is being brought to you by AMPI.
Did you know some of the world's best cheese is made in Blair? At AMPI, a cooperative owned by local dairy farmers. Producing award-worthy cheese is the daily standard at AMPI. Why? Because our products are co-op crafted. That means we combine the talents of local dairy farm families with skilled cheesemakers to craft exceptional dairy products. AMPI, we're a hometown business making some of the world's best cheese, right here in Blair.
Informing America's farmers and ranchers, AOA. Now back to Jesse Allen.
And joining us now for a conversation during National Grain Bin Safety Week, always important to talk about being safe around grain bins. Jana Davidson with Progressive Agriculture Foundation is our guest here today. Jana, it's great to talk with you again. Thanks for joining us on the program. Hope you're doing well.
I'm doing well, Jesse. Thank you for having me.
Well, it is a busy week, no doubt. As I mentioned, it's Grain Bin Safety Week, but also it's National FFA Week. There's a lot of things going on in agriculture right now. And I know this is something that the Progressive Agriculture Foundation, Safety Days, you guys are teaching youth about grain bin safety because, you know, as the title of your latest column states, when seconds count. And that's what it is all about when it comes to grain bin safety. If there are accidents inside a grain bin, right, Jana?
Absolutely. So when you talk about seconds, that really is, it's true. I think within 4 seconds, an adult like ourselves can be up to knee deep in grain, and within 20 seconds completely engulfed. So that's how quick an incident can occur. And for many of our young people out there, many of our children, they just do not realize how quickly that can happen. And because they're curious, their size, so many different factors, a lot of times when they are involved in a grain incident, it usually ends up as a fatality. That's the sad reality.
Well, I think, too, just looking at some of the latest stats that you shared in your column, what was it in 2022, the highest number of grain entrapments in what, a decade? That's a number we don't want to see, right, Jana?
It sure is. I think there was 42 total entrapments. So, yes, the largest in a decade. A few other big stats, about 45% of the grain entrapments did result in fatalities, which, again, was an increase just from 2021. So from 2022 to 2021, we're seeing a 45% increase in fatalities, which is very scary. And then for us here at the Progressive Agriculture Foundation, the scary factor for us is that 7 of those involved youth under the age of 21. So, you know, it just really shows us, I know there's new technology out there. There are new practices, there's training, there's rescue tubes, there's so many things in place, but it's still showing us that incidents are still happening and that education is so important.
Well, let's talk about the education aspect. What are some things that you guys are teaching kids and teaching youth that at Progressive Agriculture Safety Days, you know, whether they're really young elementary kids, maybe they're kids in high school who are in FFA, for instance, things like that. You know, anyone under the age of 21, like you mentioned, what are some things that you're teaching kids about when it comes to grain bin safety?
Well, since our focus is primarily the youth 4 to 13, and a lot of times we do incorporate those older teens, whether they be in FFA or 4-H, to help us, our message that we really like to send home is that grain is no place to play. So through educating youth, we do some things from showing those potential dangers. We have many different hands-on activities and demonstrations that really incorporate that, so the kids learn by doing. We also show characteristics and scenarios associated with grain bin management that they need to be aware of. But we never, our goal is to never put a child in or on anything resembling grain, because our message is to keep them out. And some of the other things that we talk about to the children is just, again, about always, not only always staying out of flowing grain, but never walking or playing around stored grain, never entering a grain bin, a wagon or a truck, staying away from a grain bin while the unloading auger or vacuum suction tube is operating. And then in the event of an emergency, you know, I think some of our reaction is to jump right in, you know, oh, we need to help. Maybe if I jump in and help, but the thing that we need to remember the most is that we need to turn off any equipment that's still operating. So we want to stop that flow of grain. We always want to assume that victim is still alive. And so time is of the essence. And so we want to get them help immediately. And we also want to make sure that the thing we do is calling for help, not jumping in to help. So calling for help immediately and never attempting to pull someone out on their own is really important. And I would say the same. I mean, while these messages are for children too, I would say it rings true for adults. And, you know, for adults that are working in grain, for our farmers, the two critical pieces that they should remember is A, always be working with a buddy and always making sure that someone knows where you are and what you're doing. And then the second thing is to make sure that you are wearing the appropriate personal protective equipment, you know, and the safety harness and things like that, because we do want our farmers to come out safely.
Yeah, very, very true. And I think as well, especially with the young children, I think about this as, you know, trying not to set up any sort of misconception, because I know when I was a young kid, I had a sandbox, but it wasn't filled with sand. It had old corn in it. And so sometimes you maybe open up some of that misconception that, oh, I'm playing in the corn here, it's fine, but it's not fine in a grain bin, right, Jana?
You're correct, Jesse, and this is a great reminder. So we're gearing up for spring, and we're going to see a lot of children coming to farms. I think millions of children visit farms annually, whether it's their family or friend's farm, or they're going on a school field trip. We're seeing a lot of that happen. What a great way to educate children about the importance of agriculture, but let's do it in a smart and safe way. And so if you have an agritourism facility or you're going to be welcoming kids to your farm for an upcoming event, let's not replace the sand with grain. It might seem like an easy fix. It might seem like, oh, it's not going to be as messy, but we're sending the wrong message. And we even had a parent bring that up at one of our safety days in recent years where their kids went through the session and they said, you know what? I was just at a pumpkin patch this past weekend, and we saw the sandboxes replaced with the grain and with the corn, and really that's sending the wrong messages. So, you know, teachers are picking up on that, kids are picking up on that, and then as adults, we need to always kind of be sending the right messages and role modeling. So sometimes that simple fix or simple alternative isn't always the best or the safest choice.
Well, I know as well, Jana, you were mentioning this to me before we went on the air, an example of how someone took a message from what you guys have taught and what other folks have taught as well about grain bin safety and put it into action in real life. Can you talk about that real quick?
Yes. So this past fall, actually at National FFA Convention, which perfect timing, we are also celebrating National FFA Week. We had an advisor come up to our booth and talk to us. You know, these are the success stories that we just love to hear in different moments throughout the year. But one of their students had shared that, you know, they had gone through a progressive agriculture safety day and they knew how to respond when they saw someone trapped in grain. They knew not to jump in. They knew to turn off all the equipment. And they knew to call for help immediately. And because of those messages and that quick reaction, that victim was saved. So that's a story we definitely want to capture and share to a larger audience. But wow, I mean, that just shows you right there. The messages are going home and this education really does matter.
It does definitely matter. And I know with the Progressive Agriculture Foundation and Safety Days, you guys are a 501c3 nonprofit. So you guys take donations in from folks to help support Safety Day programs. So talk about that a little bit here before we wrap up. How can folks get involved with what you guys do, Jana?
Absolutely. So yes, we're always looking for folks that want to pay it forward and send more children on to Progressive Agriculture Safety Days all throughout North America, because we are all over and we're continuing to grow. We have about 445 applications in for Safety Days for 2024 alone, and that number is growing daily. So if somebody's wanting to give back, they can visit our website, www.progressiveag.org. We do have a Donate Now button. They can click on that. They can make a donation in honor of someone or in memory of someone special, and again, help to save the lives of more children. And if someone's wanting to get involved in a larger way and become a partner with us, we always welcome that as well. So they can reach out to us also by visiting our website.
Fantastic. And I know you guys have a lot of great resources there as well. ProgressiveAG.org, ProgressiveAG.org for more information. Jana, it's always great to have a conversation with you. Thanks for joining us on the program. We look forward to talking to you again real soon.
Thank you, Jesse.
Once again, definitely a very important topic, no doubt, grain bin safety here, something to think about, not just during Grain Bin Safety Week, but every day, every week of the year. Also, we talked about a little bit National FFA Week going on this week, a week where FFA chapters around the country celebrate their National FFA Week and share what FFA is and the impact it has on members every single day. So hats off to all of our past and present FFA alumni. And I know coming up on Thursday, it's Give FFA Day. And Friday is Wear Blue Day. You can find more at FFA.org/national-FFA-week. All right, coming up next here on AOA, we're going to be joined by DTN Progressive Farmers Farm Business Editor Katie Dellinger. She was at the USDA Ag Outlook Forum last week. We're going to get her perspective on what she saw at the forum and talk about other stories and headlines. That's coming up next on AOA.
Every day, our brave military men and women, along with their families, make tremendous sacrifices for our freedom. Patriotic Hearts, a nonprofit organization, is dedicated to supporting these heroes and their families in their times of need. By donating your unwanted car to Patriotic Hearts, you'll be supporting job transition and job fair programs, veteran entrepreneurship, counseling, and retreats for combat veterans and their spouses. Call 800-560-3870. You'll receive a tax deduction, and we'll arrange a free pickup at your convenience. Imagine the difference you can make in the lives of those who have given so much for our country. Your car donation will directly impact military families, veterans, providing them with the support they desperately need. Call 800-560-3870. You can become a part of something bigger. Join us in our mission to uplift and honor our military community. Call 800-560-3870 to donate your unwanted car.
What is your greatest asset? A house? Your portfolio? What about your health? Your health is the most precious commodity you have. I'm Nikki Gillis, nurse practitioner from Provisions Health. Let Provisions Health protect that commodity with affordable health care and testing services for individuals, families, and businesses across Western Wisconsin. When you visit provisions.health, you will find information on health services and upfront pricing so that there are no surprises, providing affordable health care and testing solutions for Western Wisconsin. Provisions Health, 3rd Avenue West, across from Security Financial Bank, Durand.
Milk markets mostly higher with this WRDN market update. I'm Brian Winnikins. At the Mercantile Exchange, March milk down 2 to $16.97, April up 5 to $17.20, May up 1 to $17.59, June milk up 1 at $18.08. Meanwhile, live cattle and feeder cattle markets mostly higher than nearby months for just a bit lower on some profit-taking. There's really been no cash cattle interest so far this week. A lot of positioning ahead of the Friday cattle on feed report. Hog markets were also mostly mixed, a little bit of short covering, but also the market a little bit cautious due to pork cutout values that were lower once again. February live cattle down 42 cents to 183.97. March feeder cattle down 2 cents to 251.35. April hogs up 30 cents to 85.97. Chicago Board of Trade corn, soybeans, and wheat all mostly lower. Now, corn, even though it's oversold, the oversold conditions intensified due to a risk-off type of trade today, and the daily wire for exports was quiet. Soybeans mostly lower, weakness in soybean meal pressuring the entire market. Also talk that South American soybean production being understated for the prior year. Wheat markets mostly lower as well. Again, the dollar remaining in the upper end of the trading range, pressuring prices. New crop corn down 5 3/4 to 457 1/4. New crop beans down 12 to 1145 3/4. Chicago wheat march up a half to 583 1/4.
Looking to upgrade the home appliances? Elsevia Co-op Heating and Cooling features gas and electric ranges, refrigerators, freezers, washers, and dryers from General Electric and Speed Queen. If you need an appliance repair, Elsevia Co-op Heating and Cooling can service all major appliances. Call Elsevia Co-op and ask for Jody Feedy. She'll help you with all of your home appliance needs. Elsevia Co-op, your GE and Speed Queen appliance dealer, Durand.
Join Security Financial Bank for the 4th Annual Chippewa Valley Agriculture Conference, February 22nd at Florian Gardens in Eau Claire. Come gather strategies developed specifically for local agriculture producers, from knowing your numbers to application drones. The Chippewa Valley Agriculture Conference has something for everyone. Call 715-672-2412 or visit sfbank.com for more information. SFB, an equal housing lender, member FDIC.
Information America's farmers and ranchers need. AOA. Now, back to Jesse Allen.
And thanks for sticking with us here on AOA, Agriculture of America. Coming up next week at Commodity Classic in Houston, Texas, we are going to be on the ground for the show all week long. And Thursday's episode of AOA, we're going to be broadcasting live with our friends at AGI. We're going to learn more about some of their new grain handling products that they will have on display and much more. We're going to talk some education type of things as well with AGI. They're going to be located in booth 3403. That is going to be on the first floor of the George R. Brown Convention Center in Houston, Texas next week. And we'll be broadcasting live there from 9 to 10 a.m. Central Time. So
If you are going to be at Commodity Classic next week, swing on by, say hi, check out the live show there in the AGI booth. And if you're not going to be at Commodity Classic, make sure you definitely catch that special episode of AOA coming up here next week as well. Again, we'll be with our friends at AGI on Thursday at booth 3403 at Commodity Classic in Houston, Texas. All right, joining us now on the program, happy to have her back on the show with us, DTN Progressive Farmers Farm Business Editor Katie Dellinger is with us. Katie, how are you? It's great to talk with you again.
It's great to be here, Jesse. It's always a joy to join your show, and it's a nice sunny day here in Nashville. We're supposed to have some spring weather, and I think my daffodils will be happy. Although they normally get some snow, I don't know if it's going to happen this year.
I was going to say, hopefully it's not false spring. I think a lot of us are going through that season right now across
it's
the country.
Always a question. Yeah. Always a question.
Always a good question. Well, I know you have been traveling a little bit, and last week you were at the USDA Ag Outlook Forum in Washington, D.C., the 100th forum. Give us your perspective on some of the things you heard at the forum last week. I know we got a lot of news, a lot of updates from USDA with farm income projections and more, things like that. So talk to us, what were some of the big things that you heard, your perspective on last week's forum?
One of the things I'm always amazed of when I go to USDA's Outlook Forum, it's probably been about 8 years since I've attended one, is really it emphasizes the breadth of USDA's mission, because they have so much of a conversation there that I rarely sit on because it doesn't really pertain to my job particularly. But there's a lot of conversations about food and about all of the different missions underneath USDA's title that are interesting, or that I think are it's very cool to see those all together in one meeting. What I really tracked with Jesse was the commodity outlooks, which USDA put out on Thursday of last week, where they gave sort of their initial look at the 2024 crop and some of their projections, and also a lot of the conversation that was happening around farm incomes, because farm incomes, you know, USDA has called for about a 25 percentage point drop from last year. If you compare it to the peak in 2022 and adjust it for inflation, it's about 45% lower as far as a farm income forecast. So that's a pretty dramatic change, and sort of the shift from into really the drum of a bear market, and that what that means for producers' incomes, you know, was really reinforced by USDA's commodity outlook while we were there.
Yeah, well, and that commodity outlook too, you know, tying in, I know a lot of times, you know, folks like Secretary Vilsack has said, you know, some of these numbers are coming down off of record numbers in, you know, 21, 2, and 3, for instance. But I'm hearing a lot of this talk from around, you know, folks around the country that there's some concern that with some of these drops, there could be some pain points with farm income here as we move into 2024 and maybe even 25. Is that something you've kind of gathered talking with folks and listening to what USDA had to say, Katie?
You know, Jesse, you hit on a very important point there, and I think this point was made by Nathan Kaufman of the Kansas City Federal Reserve, is that, yes, 2024 is going to be tough, but farmers are entering into it with a lot of liquidity on the balance sheet from these record years. The real concern is, if USDA's initial commodity outlooks, which call for bigger crops, you know, if that's really true in 2024 and that plays out, that 2025 is going to be a much tougher year because farmers are going to be leaning into those reserves. And anyone that doesn't really have that working capital built up might be facing a bigger squeeze come 2025. And so a lot of the economists I saw really emphasize looking at the farm income numbers and the farm income picture in terms of the long run average. It's really easy to try and compare it to the past 2 or 3 years when prices have been exceptional, where yields have been strong and overall incomes have been pretty bountiful. It's easy to feel like, ooh, a 25% drop is a gut punch. But in the realm of the 20-year average, it's what they're forecasting for 2024 is about average. So it's sort of a return to the tighter margin environment that is well known in agriculture and is more of the historical norm. It just hurts when your recent memory and your recent history is of $6 corn, and now, you know, USDA is forecasting an average farm price of $4.40 a bushel. But if you really look at what their ending stocks numbers say, it could go lower than that, depending on what our supply situation looks like. So it is definitely a tougher economic environment. Economists say that working capital, that financial liquidity farmers have built up will be a good buffer for this year. The real questions are going to come is if these forecasts for big crops come through, what that's going to mean down the road.
Well, I think all of this ties in with another story you had recently, and this is a little more of a real-world farmer perspective here, a story that you looked at, looking at all the competition that our farmers are having in terms of, you know, world prices, Brazilian prices weighing on U.S. futures, things like that. You had a story on the DTN website that really caught my eye, and I think goes with this well. How long lines at soybean plants and just looking at all that competition with Brazilian prices. So maybe tie that in with what we've been seeing here from USDA. What did you find talking with some farmers in Nebraska?
You know, I went on X, formerly known as Twitter, one day, and I saw an update from Quentin Keneally. It was sort of a sentimental tweet about sitting in an elevator line in a place he hasn't been for a long time. Not close to his farm. He's from Takema, and this was in Fremont, Nebraska. It was about a 40-mile drive away. And I was like, Quentin, why the heck are you sitting in a massive line at a soybean processor when prices are in the tank? Why are you doing that? And he said to me, well, funny story. I didn't contract to sell my beans here. There was a container shipping company closer to his home that said, hey, we don't need these beans anymore. Deliver them to this ADM processing facility under our account instead. And so he was doing that as they had asked. And, you know, that same week, news had come out that some of the feeding operations on the East Coast had bought some Brazilian beans and we're shipping them up that way because it was more cost effective to buy from South America than to send U.S. soybeans by container by rail across the United States. And usually there's always some imports into those feeding operations on the East Coast. This just happened much earlier than normal. And I happened to find the farmer whose soybeans were displaced. And, you know, that was contributing to really long lines when you had, I'm sure, all the other farmers that had contracted to sell to this container shipper also going to that processing plant and sort of the shift of beans from a, you know, not quite an export, but from a domestic, you know, rail long distance sale to what's probably going to be rerouted into local soybean feed and potentially into that biodiesel market. And so I think one of the things we saw in USDA's forecast in the commodity outlook for 2024 was that they do see a little bit of a rebound in exports for whole soybeans in 2024, just because prices are going to be lower, and that will open up some of the marginal buyers and different folks out there around the world who like U.S. beans, but generally don't buy them unless the price is right. But it also called for higher exports of soybean meal and greater demand for crush. And I think, you know, USDA sees domestic crush demand climbing to about 2.4 billion bushels in 2024, really reflecting that renewable diesel pull. So we've got sort of these dynamics between the global market with Brazil having another record large crop on hand, with the U.S. having a big crop and lots of bushels to sell, but also this different domestic demand in our market. It was just one of those stories where I couldn't have picked the better farmer to ask the question to on that day.
Well, it's definitely worth the read. I know folks can get it at dtnpf.com. And again, I think it really reflects and ties in with some of the market dynamics and the farm income dynamics that we have in front of us. And, you know, Katie, I think it's no doubt that 2024, to your point, getting back to some of those normal tighter margins, it's going to be an interesting year ahead, isn't it, in agriculture?
Absolutely. I think a lot of it is going to come down to cost management. I know a lot of farmers took advantage of lower priced anhydrous this fall, put that on. It's part of why USDA is calling for 91 million acres of corn, 87.5 million acres of soybeans. They do see sort of a return to more normal prevent plant acres and different things in this year. Interesting in USDA's early outlooks, they do call for trend adjusted yields, which for corn is 181 bushels an acre, which would be a record if it was foreseen, and with soybeans, 52 bushels an acre. So definitely looking at some bigger crops ahead, cost management, the best that a farmer can do it this year will be good, as well as marketing grain when they have opportunities, really knowing what that break-even point is and taking advantage when the market does give you a chance is going to be key this year.
With that, Katie Dellinger, Farm Business Editor with DTN Progressive Farmer. Katie, always good to talk with you. Thanks for joining us on AOA today.
Thanks, Jesse.
All right, coming up next, we are going to take a look at news headlines. Back with more on AOA right after this.
Stay clean and dry while doing chores around the farm with waterproof gear from UtterTech. From waterproof bibbed overalls, aprons, pouches, jackets, and more, UtterTech has the workwear to keep you clean, dry, and working efficiently on the farm. Just machine wash and dry, and your UtterTech workwear is ready to go for the next day. UtterTech has products for veterinarians, poultry, swine, goat farmers, and even kids, too. See all the UtterTech products designed to help you on the farm at UtterTechInc.com.
One of the keys to a successful future is a quality education. Today, thousands of young men and women are studying the ins and outs of farming and related fields as members of the FFA, taking the first step toward a successful career in agriculture.
Today and every day in 2024, we salute the FFA and our local FFA members and volunteers.
This FFA salute brought to you by Wisconsin Credit Union, taking pride in serving the community and building something greater. Find out more. Visit WisconsinCU.org.
Whatever your industry or service, we know running your own business is a point of pride. Pride in serving the community and pride in building something greater. And at Wisconsin Credit Union, we take pride in helping you achieve it. By offering everything from business accounts to ACH services, business remote deposit and card processing. We also provide the latest online and mobile banking services to save you even more time. And because investing in your business is key to growing it, we provide great rates and fast local decision-making on loans. We even offer the convenience of applying for our Business Express loans online. But what truly sets us apart is the level of personal attention you'll receive from Wisconsin loan officers who really know the local business climate. Because, like you, we're also proud to be a part of it. To find out more about our business loans and services, just stop in or visit our website. Wisconsin Credit Union. Equal opportunity lender. Member eligibility required. Member NCUA.
Away for the latest episode of the Monthly Grind with our friends at the National Corn Growers Association. We'll discuss the latest topics surrounding the corn industry, the relationships between corn and other parts of the agricultural supply chain, the newest initiatives and partnerships from NCGA's Market Development Action Team, and much more. That's the first Wednesday of every month for the Monthly Grind on AOA. It's a show you don't want to miss. Join us every Tuesday for Around the Table, brought to you by CHS, as we examine how the modern cooperative system solves today's biggest challenges. We'll be talking to CHS experts and farmers and ranchers just like you, and we'll learn how cooperatives apply innovation and technology to help co-op owners get more value every day. Join us Around the Table every Tuesday, or visit cooperativeownership.com to learn more.
Non-attorney paid spokesperson. Could your house go into foreclosure? Are you behind on your mortgage payments? Does it seem like the bank has no interest in helping you save your home, and you feel like you have nowhere to turn for help? Then we have good news for you. Foreclosure Protection Services can help save your home, as they specialize in foreclosure assistance. That's all they do. If you're behind on your mortgage payments, being threatened with foreclosure, have been denied a loan modification, or been the victim of a predatory loan, it's critical that you call Foreclosure Protection Services now at 800-926-1701. Their network of attorneys and their agents are available to speak to you now. If you're behind on your mortgage payments, Foreclosure Protection Services can help stop the foreclosure process.
Call today before it's too late. New laws are in effect and may save your home. Call Foreclosure Protection Services now at 800-926-1701. 800-926-1701. That's 800-926-1701.
Make sure to subscribe to the Market Talk YouTube channel. You can watch our latest interviews with top market analysts in the country, find bonus content, and much more. It's easy. Just go to youtube.com/@MarketTalkAg and hit the subscribe button. Or you can search for Market Talk Ag on YouTube.
Get the latest bonus interviews, exclusive content, and more with the American Ag Today podcast. Just search for American Ag Today and give us a follow wherever you get your podcasts.
Young farmers don't listen to the radio, right? Wrong. In a recent survey, 74% of young producers said they get their most important agricultural information from their trusted farm radio station. Surprised? Don't be. If you think about it, it makes perfect sense. Radio is the perfect companion because it goes with you everywhere. Whether you're in the shop, on the combine, or in the truck, farm radio is right there with you. This message brought to you by the National Association of Farm Broadcasting.
Information America's farmers and ranchers need. AOA. Now, back to Jesse Allen.
And welcome back to AOA as we take a look at news headlines. While the Biden administration is set to approve the petition of eight Midwest states to sell E15 permanently year-round, but with one caveat, implementation is expected to be delayed by 1 year to 2025. Now, speaking to ethanol producers and farmers at the National Ethanol Conference in San Diego on Tuesday, U.S. Secretary of Agriculture Tom Vilsack essentially confirmed a media report to that effect this week, saying, quote, "I'm confident that in 2025 we will have E15 across the country, and this summer we will see waivers as we have seen the past couple of summers," end quote. Now, earlier in the day, an ethanol industry official said the administration needs to act. Jeff Cooper, president and CEO of the Renewable Fuels Association, said, quote, "By law, EPA had 90 days to approve, just a few months away from summer, and no one in these Midwest states knows whether they'll have it available. We're calling on EPA to immediately act on it so governors in these states can move forward," end quote. Now, back on April 28th of 2022, governors in eight states requested a change allowed by the Clean Air Act to reject the use of the 1 PSI waiver for E10, a 10% ethanol blended gasoline. The action would clear the way for permanent year-round E15 sales in the states. E15 is a blend of up to 15% ethanol and 85% gasoline, according to a DTN article. Now, on Tuesday, Reuters reported the Biden administration was set to approve the state's request with a delay in implementation by 1 year to 2025. Now, the ethanol industry could overcome E15 fits and starts once and for all, Cooper said, if Congress passes legislation to make year-round availability permanent across the country. So again, we continue to watch what is ongoing in terms of E15. It sounds like that the Biden administration is going to approve that petition, but it won't be until 2025, and we'll get some waivers this summer. We're going to keep our eyes on this story and keep you updated with the latest that we hear on AOA. So we'll continue to watch it and see what we find out here as we go throughout the week ahead. Well, Congress faces daunting spending and farm bill challenges when both chambers return next week from their President's Day holiday recess. The House and Senate facing getting the government funded with new shutdown deadlines on March 1st and March 8th. On top of that, trying to figure out a new five-year farm bill. Ag Secretary Tom Vilsack shared some of his priorities.
First, a budget that doesn't require us to cut staff. House budget appropriations talks about an 18% cut to our budget. Secondly, maintaining the IRA funding.
With its billions in conservation payments to boost farm income.
Roughly 85 to 88% of farmers in this country today require off-farm income to be able to keep the farm. But they don't have the income streams that support it, so they have to have an off-farm job. And to me, the key here is creating opportunities for that farm to generate more revenue.
Including, Vilsack argues, payments for environmental services like cover cropping and creating wildlife habitats. Now, a languishing farm bill would help, but lawmakers have so far failed to deliver there also.
The failure to have a farm bill creates uncertainty, and that uncertainty makes it very difficult for producers to make decisions about their operations, to decide whether or not they're going to diversify their crop. It's difficult for those in the Chamber of Commerce and Economic Development offices across the counties to know whether or not they need to plan for new opportunities. I mean, the bottom line is
right. You
got to get it done.
And Vilsack says it's not just a farm bill, but a rural development, conservation, nutrition, research, and trade bill, a bill, he says, about investment and stability in rural America. Now, of course, other issues on Capitol Hill are delaying getting to a farm bill and getting that done. The first, of course, the appropriations battles to fully fund the U.S. government, but also things like aid to Ukraine, aid to Israel, the southern border crisis, and others are roadblocks to getting a new five-year farm bill done. And disagreements over parts of a new farm bill have many in ag starting to wonder if a new five-year legislation will be able to get passed ahead of the 2024 presidential election, or if another one-year extension of the 2018 legislation will be needed. And one of the biggest areas of discussion is finding a way to pay for a new five-year farm bill and the back and forth over ag and nutrition programs. Top House Ag Democrat David Scott of Georgia recently said regarding the SNAP program that, quote, because the economy's improved, benefits and need for the program have decreased. The CBO is now expecting SNAP to cost $67 billion less over the next decade than originally expected, end quote. Now, if that savings number is correct from the Congressional Budget Office, some say that could lead to an end of the current stalemate on getting a new five-year farm bill finished. Now, House Ag Chair G.T. Thompson of Pennsylvania recently said in terms of SNAP that, quote, considerable opportunities exist within our jurisdiction to not only fund the safety net, but fund a substantial number of shared bipartisan priorities. And I continue to implore my Democratic colleagues to think in earnest about these priorities that can be funded without cutting SNAP, a SNAP benefit, or eliminating the important conservation programs that we've all come to appreciate, end quote. Now, in terms of Thompson's current plan, it apparently ties in with what is called the Thrifty Food Plan, or TFP, which is what determines a household's SNAP benefit. The TFP was updated for decades on a cost-neutral basis, but calculations seemingly stopped sometime right around when COVID benefits ended, and some say that is what has led to a huge expansion of the SNAP program. Chairman Thompson has said his plan has been said to put modest guardrails on the TFP update and return it to a cost-neutral calculation. And with some of those internal moves, the CBO is estimated it could free up some $30 billion without anyone's benefits being impacted. Now, the question remains, can moves such as that be enough to bring about a bipartisan resolution to the farm bill? Some lawmakers in both the House and Senate have coined the term, and on this show, in fact, that there is not enough farm in the farm bill. But with ag and nutrition so closely tied together, one has to hope that a bipartisan compromise can be found soon. And back to the comments from Secretary Vilsack here we just heard a few minutes ago. Bottom line is we've got to get it done. It is important for rural America. So the farm bill continues to be a topic of discussion on Capitol Hill. We'll be watching to see if progress is made. Of course, again, got to get the government funded first. And that is something that I know a lot of folks across the country are paying close attention to. Well, with that, we are out of time here on AOA Today. Coming up on our next program, Matt Bennett with AgMarket.net is going to join us to talk markets and give us some perspective. It's been a little while since Matt's been on the show with us, so looking forward to that conversation. Also, we welcome back John Halsman to AOA to give us some geopolitical updates and talk what is happening around the world. We're also going to look at the state of mental health in rural America with Jeff Winton, founder and chairman of Rural Minds. And we're going to talk potatoes with the Michigan Potato Industry Commission. All that and more is coming up on the next AOA. Thanks for joining us today. Have a great one. I'm Jesse Allen. We'll be back with more AOA coming up tomorrow.
Are everywhere. You should always expect one, even on private property. Only cross tracks at designated crossings that fit your equipment. If you don't fit, don't commit. Whatever you're operating, secure your load, raise your equipment, and avoid getting stuck or causing damage. Minimize distractions. Remember, noisy equipment drowns out the sound of a train. Unless you're crossing, always keep a safe distance from train tracks. Look, listen, live. For more info, go to oli.org.
Trains are everywhere. You should always expect one, even on private property. Only cross tracks at designated crossings that fit your equipment. If you don't fit, don't commit. Whatever you're operating, secure your load, raise your equipment, and avoid getting stuck or causing damage. Minimize distractions. Remember, noisy equipment drowns out the sound of a train. Unless you're crossing, always keep a safe distance from train tracks. Look, listen, live. For more info, go to oli.org.
My name is Ariel. When I arrived in the U.S. at 19, I struggled to find job opportunities without my high school diploma. My entire life changed when I took a chance and got my high school diploma at age 22. Everything I have, my education, my career, my marriage, I owe to the Adult Literacy Center and my teachers. They were with me every step of the way, helping with my English and math, making sure I push through all the challenges.
Texting privacy policy and terms and conditions posted at textplan.us. Texting rules for recurring automated text marketing messages. Message and data rates may apply. Reply stop to opt out.
Guys, let's get real about your hair loss. How long have you been wearing a hat,
hiding thinning hair, or a rapidly growing bald spot? Just stop it. You're not a 12-year-old little leaguer. You're a grown man. It's time to take action. Let the hat go and get your real hair back permanently with Bosley. You heard that right. Bosley, America's number one hair restoration experts, can give you your real hair back permanently. And right now, Bosley is